Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Animal and man, P-E-Char, he the cannibal. Run in your mouth and get slammed in the mandible. I still run down in my sandals. You ain't think AP survived through the scandals. But I'm alive, little nigga. I'm gonna thrive, motherfucker. And I ain't have to hate all niggas that try to sabotage. You should worry about trying to help your entourage. AP moonwalking on the ops, tap in, back spin, two-stepping on the block. Penny loafers on low, glitter on the two socks. Ray-Bans on, flip a quarter in the jukebox. Yeah, AP the crews move criminal. Tools I choose, you'll ooze when they riddle you. Crews get bruised and battered, I belittle you. Drugs and booze and bitches in my visuals. Jay keep telling me I'ma get rich. I keep on telling them I'ma never switch. For a second I thought my fans would abandon me. But then I thought again, my fans is like my family. But then I thought again, my fans is like my family. Love y'all. Don't go nowhere, y'all. They out to get me. It's real, y'all. Between the lines.
All right, all right. We are now at episode 541 of Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric the Media Assassin. And alongside, we got T-Max with the facts in the building. What's good, man?
What it do, what it do, man. After a couple weeks, OTC back up at the building, the freshest frequency on the airwaves, the internet keeping you interested. Shout out to our co-host, Solo Out Family, Lake Chinchilla. Yes, we are live and direct, doing it once again.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, that track we played right there, playing homage to the legends, man, the three mics. You know, if you came up in the 80s, in the 90s, you know the three mics. We talk about Tyson, Jordan, Jackson. And this project here is the reason why that I wanted to reach out to our guest on the line tonight, because he took this project to a next level in terms of creativity and bringing a fresh sound to Michael Jackson's not already rich catalog, but also a hip-hop flavor to it. I mean, we heard it before with Ron Fest. He did it in 2007, but he updated the formula with this joint here, the Dangerous 2 Project, which is the EP you can check out now. And he's online right now to talk about this dope project along with anything else that he has lined up for 2023. So let's welcome AP, the Overlord, to Off the Cuff Radio, man. Episode 541.
Yep. Peace, peace, peace to the planet. Peace to everybody tuned in, man. I appreciate that. I like that right there. I'm big on intros, man. I love it.
Man, I did that off the head, bro.
Good to have you. How y'all doing tonight, man?
We good,
hey,
man.
Hey, we blessed, man.
Your brain. Yeah, man, look, the flavor of your brain, you know, inspires the freshness of the intro, man. Thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I appreciate it, man. I'm happy to be here.
I guess we get into it, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself. King told me a lot about you in terms of, I mean, and obviously, you know, your music definitely is worth the attention and adoration and recognition and respect, and not in that order, man. I mean, hey, bless us. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're welcome, yeah.
You know, I'm commonly known as the Law Prime, but, you know, I recently changed my name to AP Overlord for marketing reasons, but, you know, I'm from Rockland County, New York. I've been rapping since I was 13. You know what I'm saying? I'm 35 now, so you can imagine, like, it's been a long time. I've been really, like, honing and crafting this skill. And, you know, it's been years. As y'all know, you know, I was a part of a faction before that shall remain unnamed. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and I'm just kind of just on my own now, doing my own thing, pushing my own brand. And, you know, Dangerous 2 is one of the first manifestations of that.
Definitely, man. Obviously, you know, in terms of the Michael Jackson influence and inspiration, that says enough in volumes about the legacy, the history, the impact, the, you know, just everything of all superlatives that befit the King of Pop and for what he did for music in general. When you look at the genesis of your career from its starting, who inspired you to rhyme? And what was it like in terms of you wanting to make this your career?
That's a great question. And it's a question that has a couple of different parts, because what actually influenced me to actually rhyme was I came across the Wu-Tang Clan CD that my brother had, Into the 36 mm-hmm. Chambers, and what drew me to it, like a lot of other people that got drawn to Wu-Tang, was the symbol on the front. Because prior to that, I had no real knowledge of hip hop. It was only pop music and old Haitian compa played in my household. So I grew up on Gloria Estefan, Michael Jackson, Madonna, Celine Dion. These people are artists, John Cicada. These are artists that my mother loves, these artists. So, you know, I love the music that my mother loves. So I knew I wanted to be some type of creative. I didn't really know until it wasn't. Then I got introduced to hip-hop through the Wu-Tang, slash Death Row, because Nothing But a G-Thang video was on all the time. I'm talking about the West Coast had hip-hop in a goddamn chokehold. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just nothing but Dr. Dre on the TV every single day. I wanted a Sox hat so bad. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, years went on. I started diving deeper into Wu-Tang, finding out about Killer Army, hearing the Killer Bees, and, you know, all the dudes out West, North Star, all of those dudes, Holocaust, who's an incredible rapper. And then one night, I remember, this is when I was living on West Broadway at night, I just started writing. I was like, yo, I think I could do this. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, yo, let me see if I could do it. And, like, it just came natural to me. And once I started, I never stopped. So I would say my childhood, the music that I listened to from my childhood, included with, you know, my first introduction to hip hop, is what really, I could say, showed me that, like, oh shit, like I could do this.
Yeah, man. When you mentioned going to Estefan,
That's Greg, nobody mentioned. That's actually a first. Somebody mentioned Gloria Estefan as a
Miami Sound
as an influence.
Yeah, Gloria Estefan. Listen, the first instrumental I ever had was that single she had. Oh, man, it sucks that I can't remember the name. It was that big
Rhythm
one.
Is Gonna Get You.
What'd you say?
Rhythm Is Gonna Get You.
Yeah, the rhythm joint. Yes, that. My mother had the single. It had the regular track. It had the acapella. Had the instrumental, and then it had like some. Remember when they used to do like the '90s party mixes of records?
Yeah,
yeah.
I had one of those on there. I used to rap over. That was the first. I didn't even know what an instrumental was called. I used to just say, "I just want the music," but I could never. You see what I'm saying? So I used to rap. I learned how to really, really rap over that Gloria Estefan record, bro.
Now, when you're looking at it in terms of that Latin fusion, the Latin grooves of it, because you have so many derivatives of Latin culture and music, where you have samba, you had, what you call freestyle. For our listeners out there that would know, that was along the lines of Lisette Melendez, the good, Sweet Sensation, Exposé.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking of. Exposé, yes.
Yeah.
Lanier, the group Lanier, and all them. You know, so it when you look at that 80s, man, Overlord, it's like, and Kingham, me and my brother, we talk about it all the time, man. That 80s era, when you look at the diversity of all the different genres, when you think about Talking Heads, when you think about Peter Gabriel, U2, when you think about Michael Jackson, when you think about Prince, the Bangles,
mm-hmm.
Go-Go's, yeah, Daryl Hall.
So much diversity.
Yeah, and Menudo even, with Ricky Martin,
yep.
Even before all the trouble, we're just keep it strictly music.
Right.
We don't know about the trouble Ricky's in right now, but... when you look at all that, man, it was like there was no line in terms of – it was like pop music back then, it wasn't a bad thing to be a pop artist. Hip-hop in the 80s had not quite found its footing yet. It was getting popular, but it was still an underground phenomenon, so you had not quite seen it, really, really take hold until probably around maybe the late 80s is really when it really, really began to really get big. But when you're looking at the pop music of that era, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, Mike and the Mechanics, Peter, Phil Collins.
All legends.
Duran Duran, Mr.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we could go on.
You can go on forever.
And when you think
it's
about
like
a lot of the rhymes,
period of time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, right, like around that, things weren't tampered with yet. You understand?
Right.
So
it wasn't corporate.
Like, nobody at that time is like, yo, I'm going to make a crap. Like at that time, like I'm guilty of it too. Albums were never self-proclaimed classics. They didn't know what they were going to make when they were making it. They just went in and created and trusted in each other, and whatever came from it came from it. That's why it hits so hard, because it's so natural. It's soul music. Even the 80s power ballads from more of the white artists and shit like that, like, it still got soul in it, though. You know what I'm saying? So I love 80s power ballads. You know what I mean? Like, I for example, like all the music in the movie Bloodsport. Classic,
yeah,
like,
oh yeah,
Fight to Survive.
Those
yeah,
types of power ballads, they work in the headphones. They work in big stadiums. They work intimately. They were and there wasn't machines around it. It was just it was just people just making music. So it's timeless, because you gotta think, right, like. Michael Jackson, probably the best example I could use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thriller came out in 1983, right? I'm born 1987, right? I'm like 7 years old. Well, maybe a little bit. I'm like 5-6 years old, and Thriller is still like a prominent thing. Like Thriller is still playing on MTV and all of that, like daily, because they used to play. It used to be Billie Jean. and then it, and they would play Thriller right after. They would always give you the two-piece. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, when Dangerous came out, videos for Thriller is still on TV. So you got to understand, like the impact of that music. This is an album that came out 83, and here we are, 1993. It's 10 years later. You know what I mean? And it's still, like, on TV playing every single day. You know what I mean? So it's like,
one of the, you know, still the biggest selling album ever.
Exactly. So I try to take that. I try to take those types of ideas and thoughts and into, you know, I try to imagine what it was like creating that. And I know that, you know, when they were making it, they weren't thinking about making a classic. So I think that's why my shit be hitting the way it has, because I'm not really aiming to make the classic. I'm just trying to create what's inside of me.
Yeah, even when I was looking at a lot of your stories, I'd be seeing a lot of the vinyl pieces you'd be sharing, like the Vanity Six and the Prince and Rick James. I'm like, man, you sitting on, like, timeless classics that is worth probably, like, in the thousands right now if you look it up on
eBay. Yeah, these are vinyl. You know what's so crazy? I came upon my father, who recently died, you know what I'm saying? I came upon his old vinyl collection. You know what I mean? My mother been holding it for years. Forgot she had it. Was cleaning out her closet. Found them and just threw them on my bed. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at them like, God damn. Like, you know, I'm back home in New York right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, is, you know, for her to find that. And then, because I've been sending her every copy of each vinyl I do. So, you know, it's crazy how things just come around full circle. But, you know, I just recently got turned on to the bug. I understand the intimacy of collecting the vinyls. And, you know, I plan on just pushing the envelope with it and trying not to be corny at the same time. I don't want to do nothing everybody else is doing. You feel me? So, you know, that's the everyday struggle with that. But, you know, I'm getting to it.
You know, when we think about the 80s in terms of the creativity, of course, with Michael being the spearhead of it, him and Prince, when you think about the impact that Thriller had, the what him and Quincy Jones, the magic that they made, that was coming along in an era of where artistry was really, 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 you know, encouraged in terms of really saying something. One of my definitely my favorite songs from the 80s has to be Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years. And when you listen to some of the lyrics in it, first verse starts, every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish that I could have told him in the, when you just think about some of the artistry that went into it, and this would influence, like yourself, a whole generation of artists.
Right.
In terms of the melodies, in terms of reference points, in terms of the music samples. I mean, when you look at Jay-Z, It's All Right, he samples Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime, and I first heard that, and I knew it right then. I'm like, yo!
And that, I love that. I love that beat.
I'm like, he slowed it down, and like, yo, I'm like, nigga, I mean, and this is off the Hard Knock Life album, and I mean,
who made
like,
that? Clark Kent, right?
I mean, when you look at the era of when you saw the hip hop really beginning to come of age, obviously the culture has been recognized. Obviously, going into this year in August is 54 years of it. But even going back to James Brown and, you know, Cab Calloway and all of them before, you know, you could even say it goes back 60, 70 years. When you think about it, Overlord, what was it like in terms of watching the culture begin to really grow, get legs, find its footing, and ultimately take its place as the preeminent force in the world in terms of culture, influence, fashion? Hip-hop runs the world right now. I mean, we just got to keep it real.
Absolutely. It was, it was dope to watch coming up, and it's dope to watch now. I feel like some of, you know, as much as things are different, things are the same. And, you know, like, it's dope. Hip-hop, it's so crazy because hip-hop has grown so many different arms. Like, there's mad, like, and just rap alone, just rap alone, the element rap of hip-hop has grown so many different kinds. There's different kinds of rap and different, you know, ways to rap. So it's interesting to see. One thing that kind of like scuffs my Tim's a little bit is like I came up in an era of like individuality, you feel me? And people sounding different and doing different things and you know, inventing mm-hmm. new ideas. I don't really see that being pushed. I really see people just trying to do their best rendition of an idea that they already see happen. You see what I'm saying? As opposed to like trying to do something different. I think that's why like I try to do things like, yo, we gonna put out a Sega Genesis, or we gonna start to implement these different types of ideas outside of the rap that'll just tie it all in together, because it's like, you know, we're in such a digital time, but you know, nobody's really like pushing the envelope as far as the ideas, not the music, because everybody's, you know, rappers are going to get better the more you rap, but I'm just talking about like everything outside of the rap, like around it, like you know, like, okay, cool, we've done the t-shirts, we've done the, you know, like what's next, like what's the new thing that hip-hop is going to like take over, and you know, that's where I'm at with it. I'm trying to find like the next thing that's going to be a part of hip-hop that isn't necessarily hip-hop, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think what happened too is that I think the competitive nature got lost somewhere along the line, because people got more content with getting the bag instead of, you know, earning respect from their peers. Like, it used to be right. A big deal more so of you having the dopest album, or your album get 4 or 5 mics in the source, or
right.
XL, or
right.
have a critical acclaim. But now, a dude could drop Doo-Doo, but it don't matter because he did 400,000 the first week.
Exactly. I mean, you could even break it down to smaller, like even like in the Invisible Renaissance and this underground circuit we got going on. Like, it's a, you know, like going back to this whole vinyl thing, you know, like a lot of people's getting vinyl deals and such, you know what I'm saying? But like before this was like a prevalent thing, like, I feel like the projects that was coming out at one certain time, like everybody was dropping some fire. Now it seems like people are just throwing things together just to get that quick money grab. But it's like, yo, the music's not standing the test of time. So it's like, what is we really doing this for? You know what I mean? I'm still trying to be the dopest rapper. That's why on every song I keep saying that I'm the best. I keep saying it. It's never being disputed. And that annoys me. You know what I mean? It's like you at the basketball court and everybody just want to shoot around. They don't want to run a full court game, but it's enough niggas on the court. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, damn, like, sell the fight or something. Like, I don't know. It's just like there's no excitement. And that's what I'd be trying to bring. I'd just be trying to bring an element of excitement. A lot of people say I could be, you know, boisterous, whatever. But my thing is like, my third grade teacher, Mrs. Goss, always told me the squeaky wheel gets the attention. See what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not disgruntled. I'm never like, this is hip hop. I love it. I'm passionate about it. But, you know, it's just, it's to the point where there's no competitive nature in this. You know what I'm saying? There's no competitive nature. And if they do want to compete, it's never in anybody's like, they want to compete in like sucker ways, you feel me? And it's I don't play that game. You know what I mean, like, if we gonna rap, let's rap. If not, then shut up. You know what I mean? Let the computers compete, because I'm really unseeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they want to do something goofy, man. They want to be like, oh, I got more views than you. Like, who cares?
Yeah, like, man, I wasn't talking none about views. Nobody said none about views. Nobody said none about money. I'm talking about catching the wreck. Now, when it comes to stepping in that ring, you put the clock on their ass, it's over. You put stipulation of these, like, a lot of people can't operate under those types of pressures. I'm from that. You know what I'm saying? So I could tell, even in my, you know, in my past, like, rap conflicts or whatever, I just look at the patterns and I see that most of the rap dudes or whatever, like, that's in the city, they haven't really been through rap conflict. Nobody's pen has ever really been tested. They're just proclaiming to be nice, but you ain't been battle tested. See what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I want to see something. I've been challenging. Ain't nobody, you know. So that's why I say I'm the undisputed hottest in the underground, because I say it and it never gets disputed.
Yeah, man.
Still, too, you also be finding ways. I ain't mean to cut you off, T-Man, but I will say, too, that
go ahead.
Also find ways to stand it out, man. Like, you know, from your covers, like your album covers be crazy dope, man.
I appreciate that, man. I'm telling you, it's all intentional, man. It's all intentional. I'll tell you that much. It's all intentional.
And
they're all the pieces. Shout out to my man Rooster in Germany. Peace to Dusty Doodles. My man Hilo. These dudes is amazing. And this year they're going to really, like, just take over.
Yeah, man. When we think about that era, you know, from all genres of music, from pop to hip-hop, from that 80s, even the 70s, going back with that, you know, you really had to resonate with the people. There was no substitute for skill in crafting classics. You let the people decide, and that was the barometer by which your longevity was going to be dictated from, you know. And I think that's where we have an issue today, y'all, with a lot of artists. King and myself, we talked about it with so many of the hundreds of guests we've had on the show about how the market has changed with social media becoming a thing now. It's like steroids. And everybody thinks that if they inject themselves into it, that they're going to get bulked up. But the fact is, by broadcasting it, yes, you have a wider range, but it's also the fact you're going to have a more express lane for people to really judge it for themselves. We've seen the situation come so microwave now. I mean, if I remember years ago when I went to see Professor Griff speak years ago. And he was talking about music in terms of, and this was back in 2003, and he was talking about I think he was saying like 2 years earlier, name some of the biggest songs from that time. He's like, you can't, can you? He's like, because that's how disposable the industry has become, you know?
Right.
And then how, exactly. And we look at it now, y'all. Yeah, how many artists are we looking at from even 5 years ago? Who had a hit song 5 years ago? Who were the artists that everybody thought then was going to blow and they didn't blow? You know what I'm saying? I mean, but one thing about underground that you represent so well, Overlord, is that the underground always has a following. It will always be loyal. It always stays true to who they rock with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why, like, I really appreciate, you know, all my fans, man. And, you know, they know I'm real responsive. I'm on my Bandcamp. Like, I'm really, like, I really interact one-on-one with each purchaser, every person, because it's like, I remember doing this for nothing. And I, like, you know, I will go back to doing it for nothing because I just love the craft, you understand? So I respect every dollar. And the underground is probably right now the best circuit to be in, you know what I mean, because of everything you just said, you know, the loyalty in it, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's a beautiful game, and it's more nostalgic, and people, you know, especially overseas, you know what I'm saying, especially overseas, really cherish and show that love and support. So it's like, it's dope, you know, that I fell into this lane, you know what I mean, because I'm really thriving in this, and I'm real confident on where I'm gonna take things.
Now, going back to the Dangerous 2 EP, man, like, how long did it take you to complete that?
Yo, no lie, me and True Cypher recorded Dangerous 2 in 3 nights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot. I didn't write one rhyme on there. I was staying in a hotel in L.A. with my manager. I was in L.A. at the time. I live in L.A., but I'm in New York right now. We were staying in a hotel in Burbank. I did 2 albums like that. I did Grim Night like that, and I did Dangerous 2 like that because, I don't know, I just got into this mode, and the ideas were just coming, and then I had finally gotten the art from Dusty. I kind of make the project to the art. Like, I'll have an idea for a project, but when I see the art, that's when the ideas really start to materialize. You know what I'm saying? So I was just sending him the joints that I wanted him to sample. He would cook them up. I'll record them, mix it, and then I was just uploading it in real time, like track by track, until it was done. So, yeah, Dangerous 2 was recorded in 3 nights. There's not one rhyme written. I didn't sit down and physically write. I don't write rhymes no more.
Man. How do you feel it when you're just in that synergy of ideas where it just flows? What is it like?
That's a great question. You know what it's like? It's like, you know when you're riding a bike and you know that it's going fast enough that you can let the handlebars go and it's comfortable and you just got it in pocket and you know and you can see the rock coming up and you can dodge it, and that's what it feels like. It feels like riding a bike with no handlebars, but you have complete control. When I start, when it gets rolling, like, it's like I could just let the handlebars go. You know what I mean? Like, the track will just start to kind of, like, walk itself to the end because you can hear the whole song before it's done. I just haven't pieced it together yet. So when I went in to do the intro or the first song, like, when I heard the beat, I heard the whole song already. I just didn't know. I was just piecing it as I went along. But I heard it, what I was going to say. It's weird. It sounds like a mumble before, but I heard the song, though. You know what I mean? And it's in my head. Mm-hmm. It's in my head. You know what I mean? It's in my mind. So that's why I'm like, you know, when the bike is going fast enough, you know when to let go. You're not going to let go of the handlebars when it's not going fast enough. Or if it's starting to go too fast, you're going to start to grab it. You know what I mean? So it feels like that moment when you know you can just let the handlebars go. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what it feels like.
Man. That's got to be a special feeling when you know you are hitting something at that level where you know it's going to be great. When you look at artistry today with artists and how a lot of them compose music with how they're getting out there, it is distinctly different from the time we came up in. What do you notice the most in terms of the art of composition and attention to detail and producing the art?
You got to capture the greatness in a shorter duration of time because the attention span is shorter now. Like you said, everything microwave. See, another factor why the music was the way it was when we came up, because there wasn't no social media. You had to really be the guy. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't just come online and say you was thugging. Like, you didn't gain your name from just antics and shit. Like, you couldn't say you was gangster. You had to show you. You see what I'm saying? It was a different time. So, you know, going back to what you said, that's the difference. Now you have to capture the greatness in a shorter period of time. If you really listen to my music, sometimes it just be one long verse, but it feels like a whole song, though. It feels like you listen to a whole song, because I had to try to master getting the whole feeling out in a shorter time, because by the time somebody finishes let's say your song starts with the hook. By the time they get through the first 16, after that second hook, they listen for the next song, though. And then, by that time, especially like when people is mobile moving around, like, you know, that's just how it is now. So I try to make the songs stay within that, you know, time frame. Like, I know when it feels like, all right, I finished the idea now. You know what I mean? The attention span is much longer now. So you have to, that's the difference in the artistry now. It's the same artistry, especially with the lyricism. Lyricism is at an all-time high right now. Like, people are smarter now. There's more technology. There's more history that has happened. There's more things to reflect on. So rapping is definitely better nowadays, but it's more concise because you have to get people hooked in a shorter period of time. Back in the day, it was 3 verses, hook. You might even have a bridge on the song. You know what I mean? So it's different now. I haven't heard a bridge on a song in years.
That died out with the three verses.
Yeah, there's no more three verse song.
But the last time I heard somebody do three verses was Kendrick Lamar. That was like what, 2015 with the Black of the Berry, the Sweet of the Juice. Nobody doing three verses no more.
Right. I think Lil Boosie just put out something where he was like, yo, I'm doing the old format, three verse song, shit like that. Well, it can't be me because, like, I'm not going to hold you. Like, my attention span is shorter, too. I'm jaded, too. I'm from, like, we in an era, like, right between, like, because I remember the world before social media and I know the world after social media. So it's kind of like I'm stuck in between the two. You feel me? Because, like, I do the same thing. Like, after a while, I'm to the next song. So conscious of that when I make my own music. And then on top of that, I want it to be so fire in that short period of time. Yo, run that back. I want every song to be like, yo, run that back. Run that back. Yo, run that back. You see what I'm saying?
No skippables.
Mm-hmm. No skippables. Dangerous, too, I feel like, is a, you can just press play and you don't got to press nothing.
And bass, man, how is your bass responding to it so far?
I'm sorry?
How is your fan base responding to the project?
Dangerous 2, they already calling it an all-time classic. Like, the thing about Dangerous 2, I've been creating it my whole life. You know what I mean? Ever since I seen that album, I knew that I was going to pay homage to that from when I was a kid. That's why it came across like that. It's very sentimental. It's a very intimate album. The artwork that was renditioned upon, and you know, even though it was recorded in 3 days, I was able to do that because it took me so many years to master the craft in order to be able to do it in 3 days. People just hear 3 days like, oh shit, but nah, it took me mad long to be able to do it in 3 days. You see what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, I feel like the fans, that it hit them so hard because I gave it to them in real time. I didn't want to give them something that's like, you know, tracks that I've been saving and putting on the set. Nah, I wanted it to have one feeling through the whole thing. It was a current thing. I was talking about current things going on at that particular point in time in my life. You know what I mean? So, you know, most of my projects be recorded like 4 days before they do, 3 days before they do.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely once the people really, really, like, you know, I know that's been so gratifying for you to see that response it has. Over your journey with this, who have you interacted with on the underground as well, especially living in L.A.? I mean, you got a phenomenal cachet of artists from L.A. to the Bay, you know, to Dago. I mean, when you think about Ryan Anthony in San Diego, when you think about Cam and China in Inglewood, when you think about G. Perico presenting Broadway, you know, when you think about, just so many. I mean, Kamaya up in Oakland, you know, Neftafero. I mean, how's it been to interact with all of them, if you have?
First of all, one thing I want to say, like, when I got to L.A., I instantly fell in love with the city. L.A. is just my speed. I love the current of the city. I love the people. I love just how I feel when I'm there. I feel more creative. I feel alive when I'm in L.A. You know what I mean? Like, I could create anywhere. But when I'm there, it's something about being in Los Angeles, man. Like, it's like just the universe just start working for me. You know what I mean? As far as the artists I worked with, I met a lot, like, L.A. is a melting pot. So I've met a lot of artists in L.A. that aren't necessarily from L.A., like Rufus Sims, he's from Chicago, but I met him in L.A. My man Tyrant, I met him in L.A. As far as rappers from California, Boo Boo the Prince, that's my man, he's from San Diego, dope-ass artist. I was blessed with the opportunity to work with the legend Planet Asia, that's my man. Like, I really appreciated him, man, and... Like, one thing about Planet Asia I like, man, like you know, with all his accolades and all the things that he's done over the years and shit like that, like, he's still, like, that just that cool cat. He'll pull up on you. He came to the session, brought me some bud. Real cool dude, you feel me? So, like, I definitely, you know, want to connect with some more artists. from out there. If you know anybody, if you guys have anybody I want to link me with, my line's always open. Well, yeah, as far as music that I have with California artists, oh, yeah, my man El Dorado, you know what I'm saying? He's official. We did an EP together called Zoes and Bandidos, you know what I mean? Just showing love to, you know, I'm Haitian, he's Mexican, so, you know, we just showed love to both of our cultures on one project. I've never heard of a Haitian and Mexican project, so, you know, that was hip-hop history to us. So I love L.A., I love all the artists. I love the sounds coming out of there. And I can't wait to get back to the city because I have so much to do and there's so many people I need to link with.
Now going on with your creativity and everything, man, like, this is the question I want to shoot in regard to where you're in your creative space. Now, let's say you're going to L.A., does that play a role in your creativity on where you want to take your projects versus New York City? Or it could be like you could be recording an album in Texas or Arizona. Like, does the landscape and environment play
Absolutely.
A role in your creativity?
Absolutely. There's something about, see, California is a very, like, other than, like, in the city and L.A., we know L.A. is, like, mad dirty, but, like, see, like, there's sites coming, like, off that highway, off the freeway. The landscape definitely, absolutely plays a part. It's hard to articulate how it does, but, you know, it might sound cliche because for somebody that grew up in California, these are things that you've seen all your life, like the Capitol Records building and the Netflix building is right there. One from California could say that to somebody from Manhattan who sees 42nd, Apollo, and all of that. It's the same thing. When you see these things, it makes you feel like, yo, like, this shit is more obtainable. It's more, it's realer. Like, it's because L.A., it's mega poverty next to mega riches, wealthiness. You know what I'm saying? Like, the poverty line and the wealth line, that shit is like right next door to each other. You're either good or you're not in L.A. You know what I'm saying? And L.A. forces you to hustle. When you see all that homelessness, when you see all these motherfuckers in the street talking to themselves and shit like that, you don't never want to be like that. So L.A. is a good place to go to wake a motherfucker up. Like, oh, you think you done seen some shit, nigga? Let me take you down San Pedro and 22nd and all this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
man, goddamn Skid Row and all
nasty.
That. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I haven't even seen all of L.A. You know what I mean? So, like, I could only imagine, fam. Like,
and we ain't even got into the street side of it. We just talking about the homelessness. We ain't even
talking,
we're talking
about
the streets,
yeah,
out there.
I'm not even talking it like that's a whole other, like, we'd be here all night. That's a whole other thing. You know what I mean? Like, but just seeing the everyday struggles, man, like women outside with babies and they ain't got no shoes on. And it's like, there's parts of L.A. that look like a third world country. And then you turn the corner and it looks like you're in goddamn paradise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you hit Beverly Hills and Wilshire. You know what I'm saying? It's like you and like the rich, couple streets over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, you know, you know. But it's funny, though, y'all.
It ain't Bayside,
you know,
High, bro. It ain't Bayside.
Yo, California,
wild.
Period, just make you respect life because it's poverty and violence in the middle of paradise. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. But it's almost like Atlantic City. As soon as you leave the boardwalk, good luck, fam. As soon as you leave wherever, you know what I mean, like, it's nothing but poverty. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it teaches you a lot, man. It also teaches you pride in your race. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not gonna act like race ain't a problem out that motherfucker, boy. Because you could just cut the tension with a knife. You know what I mean? But it's, you know, it's still a beautiful place. I love L.A. I love being a resident there. And, you know, it's dope. I've seen all sides of, you know, I've stayed in Burbank and I was in a hostel in South Central. So, like, I know, man. I know what it is. I've been around, man.
Yeah. And that's but, you know, it's funny, though, because when you think about it, L.A., you think back going to from all elements of entertainment, from the heavy metal hair craze of the 80s, you know, Poison, you know, back in the day, they were Slovenia before they moved to L.A.
Right. You know,
you think about all those hair metal bands like Motley Crue, L.A. Guns, you know, Guns Shark Island, Hanoi Rocks, you know, all of them, they were like on that circuit back in the day trying to, you know, matter of fact, shout out to Penelope Sherris, the director who did that documentary, The Fall of Western Civilization, Part 2. And that had to do, you know, decline of Western Civilization. It was primarily focused on the heavy metal movement. So you've seen that, you know, Overlord. And now then you're seeing, and then you're seeing later on, you know, which was always a thing in Hollywood anyway, everybody was coming to Hollywood to be a star. You know, everybody was trying to be in the movie.
Right. Right.
You know,
subconsciously, it's in your mind.
Like yeah.
It's just one of those American things. You know what I mean? Because, like, let's not get it mistaken. Like, hip-hop is American music. You know what I mean? So that American dream and all of that, that's all part of it, too. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's subconsciously in your mind when you think, like, when you get rich, you're going to go to Hollywood or you're going to go somewhere in California. It represents a level of prestige. You see what I'm saying? And everybody should strive for that still. You know what I mean? Like, as crazy as America is, it's still the greatest country in the world. So, you know, like, there's still ideals and ideas and dreams that we chase, you feel me? And I've never let go of that. I've never, like, lost my identity as far as, like, what I want out of life and what I want out of the place I live.
And that's really profound to think about, man. You know, we get so caught up, especially this time over the past few years, you know, with a certain election back in 2016, that basically opened up a lot of stuff that people had tried to say didn't exist in terms of this racial strife, you know, political maneuvering tricks, you know. And I tell anybody, one thing about this country is it has its problems like any other. And I think as a nation, we have to face this because we've always fought the American ideal of homogeneity in the sense of everything is about working hard, you know, everyone has an equal opportunity. No, it's not like that. Because there is such a thing as classism, there is racism. You know, no matter who you are, black or white, you know, they say to a degree, depending on where you are, it's about an 80% chance in this country. They say if you're born into poverty, no matter what color you are, you're probably going to be in it the rest of your life. But there's that other 20 of hard work, dedication, commitment, focus, and sheer will that you can make it out. And we have this thing in this country called free speech as well. It may not be perfect, but we at least get to speak out on things that we don't like. I tell people, look, and I'll say it on air, I'm a Republican on the Second Amendment because I'm a strong believer in guns. You know, for those who are lawfully qualified to have them. But I'm a Democrat. You know, I'm a liberal. But I also look at it as a humanist. And I tell anybody, you want to bitch about how bad it is here? Go to other countries and talk shit about the government and see if you come back alive.
Right. At least
you can't bark all
that persecution.
Mm-hmm. Go over there and bark. They're going to line you in that firing squad quick.
Yeah.
Man, look, you go to North Korea, speak out against the government, your ass getting snatched up in one of those camps. You go to Russia, talk about Putin, your ass disappearing.
Yeah, they're getting you out of here.
20 seconds.
You know, we
yeah, you out of here. They go
satisfied, yeah. So, you know, we always complain about our country because we can. You know what I mean? So, you know,
right.
America's a great place at the end of the day. You know, it has its things, but at the end of the day, you know, I wake up and do what I love for a living. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, haven't done it yet or are going to do it just because they aren't working or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I just count my blessings, man. And, you know, it's a other than all the problems, man, it's a dope time to be alive, man. This is probably the dopest age of existence. You know what I mean? So, you know, I try to look at it like that, and you know, keep myself educated and the people around me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, going to another topic, and you know, also going to another topic as well. Like, we were talking about social media and how it's influencing the world. It has its pros and cons. Like, for example, it has a lot of pros. We were able to connect with dope artists like yourself. We was able to do interviews and, you know, make a lot of connections, because people don't understand the hassle and the grind of having to travel state to state to get artists and to get content. You are, you know, going in people's hoods and you ain't never known.
Right.
Social media pretty much made that a whole lot easier. And it's also made it easier as well for artists to also distribute their music. So how has social media played a great role in pretty much distributing your music and getting it heard?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, social media, yes, has played a part, but then the people on social media also have to do with it. Like, social media, it made the world smaller. So, you know, I was able to link up with YouTubers like Pack of the Plug and Real Rap Family and a bunch of these other like people who share underground artists, which enabled me to have a presence in Europe and all these other places, Australia, Japan. So social media definitely helped me spread it out, for sure.
And what's it been like to be able to reach those other countries in terms of finding an audience?
Oh, man, it's dope as hell, because it lets me know that, there's so many people that are just like me, bro, that hit me up like, yo, fam, like, this song you did, it explains exactly, like, how like, I view this, like, I have no discrepancies. Like, there's people who hit me up, man, like, it just helps me just relate to so many more people. It just opened the world up so much more to me, man. Like, it's just dope being able to be in these other places. And, you know what I mean, truth be told, other than platforms like y'all's and you know, a few others, like, they show super-duper love across seas, man. Like, it's different, you know what I mean? The love you get out there is different, like, in the UK and especially Germany, you know what I mean? Like, they really, like, be fucking with you. They really like this hip-hop shit, and they know what's good and they know what's not good, you know what I mean? Like, they really analyze your shit. And, you know, I've learned things from people across seas about hip-hop that I didn't know, you know what I mean? So it's dope, man. It's dope.
When you think about it, why is there seeming such a... even though we created it over here in the States, why is it seems overseas that there just seems to be a deeper understanding and respect for the culture, in terms of they really look at it from its core of if it's good or if it's not good?
Because going back to social media, like, if you notice, certain countries don't allow certain, like, they're not seeing that ratchet shit across seas, bro. They're not seeing the bullshit that we see online over here. You understand? In Japan, bro, they don't show the people, like, they don't show the ratchet shit that be going on. They only show people creating, building, doing things that appreciate with time. So, and there's the delay. They get things a little bit behind. You understand? So, like, it's different what's being pushed out there. They're not put, like, certain music or certain shit, they're not going to let their population see. So they are less, they're less corrupted. You know what I mean? Like, out here, like, boom, don't you see, like, an underground artist can go across seas and make bank off shows and all of that. It might not necessarily be known in America at all. You know what I mean? Because they really coming out. Out here, if I was to do a show with New York, fam, right now, as AP Overlord, fam, niggas ain't coming, bro. If I say I'm performing in Germany, people's coming to that. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's different. They're still on it like that. Out here, it's more of like a popularity thing. Them, they just want to hear that. They want to see that. They want to see you perform live. They want to know why. They give you the time of day. If you say you're having a show, all right, well, be there because we want to see why you believe that you're good enough for us to. You see what I'm saying? So it's different.
Yeah,
they give time and day to show and prove. Out here, it's like relationships and political shit. And, you know, it's just a bunch of things that is a bunch of egos and just like backbiting. And it's just real political here. Out there, it's like skill. Is he nice? If he's nice, then we fuck with him. We don't care about nothing much I talk about online or nothing like we don't care about that. We want the music. So that's the difference.
I'm glad you
yeah.
put it that way,
yeah.
man, because that's another thing, too, that it seems that now the music is like third focus. Now the first main focus is, what's your rep like? Like, who'd you put in work when in the streets? And who you sleeping with? It's like, yo, we don't know nothing about the music.
We don't know anything about the music. You know what I'm saying? Like, out there, it's the complete opposite. It's like, yo, did you hear the first EP? Yo, go check that. And then they go on the wormhole. I have so many people that hit me up like, yo, I heard this one joint, and then I just start listening to everything. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that out here. Out here, it's like, it's a real acquired taste in America. Like, it's either you mess with it or you don't. There's no, like, gray line. You know what I mean? Like, out there, they're going to listen and check for you and see, like, how you follow up. I get so many people telling me, like, yo, Prem, slow it down. All right, let us catch up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm taking a step back, like, because I put so much out that it's like, I'm going to let people catch up real quick. That's why I've been pushing my Sega games and just trying to do other things because the output of music was so crazy that it's like people's catching up. People just now talking about Screwface with me, and I'm like, damn, like, you just heard Screwface? But they found Screwface through Dangerous 2, though. So it's like, you know, the old stuff kind of works for the new and vice versa.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, y'all, we've talked about this so much, a lot of artists have to understand that there are, you really, really have to be dedicated to it because one thing about it is, and this ruffles feathers every time we speak on it, but we got to say it again and again. The people decide whether or not you're dope. And, you know, whether King's Hood, whether my hood, whether anybody at hood, you can be big, or, well, I put it like this, you can make music. There's a difference between known, being big, and then being the shit. Known is when people know you rap. Big is when you have a song that moves around. The shit means you move around outside of your area and your state, which people know from other places about you. Like,
right.
If you're the shit, you can go to other cities and rock it, and they legitimately know who you are. You know, you got people from other cities and other states and other countries buying your music, you know, and a lot of artists got to understand, you really not nothing if you just staying local in one place. And some artists, and I know this is controversial, yeah, some artists just want to stay local because they feel like they can be the big dog there. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, look, if you're not, and I take it further, if you're not in a market where it's already big, like L.A., New York, Atlanta, Miami, Houston, you know, where they already got something moving, it's going to be harder for you to get out of your spot. And it doesn't mean you may not be good. But the thing is, you know, it just means that you're going to have to fight harder to get out of that area, especially if nobody's really looking at it at that spot. But the main thing is you stay humble, you understand the work you've undertaken,
and just keep doing it. But that's where I think a lot of some of the resentment comes with some artists in it, because they feel like they didn't get the due that they should have gotten. And that's the cold reality. It's like not making the pros when you're a college baller and you're great. Not everybody's going to get to that next level. There's only a certain amount of room for people to get that space.
That's a fact.
So you know, and I'm just speaking facts. You know, I'm not trying to deter anybody's dream or dash anybody's hopes. We've been blessed to do this show. King started this baby, you know, 8 years ago. I've been part of it for the past six. You know, we talk to people on and off the air, and we've talked about this again and again. The industry, especially this day and time, is fruitful. It is very abundant in terms of possibilities. But it also means you have to do something to make yourself stay, because everybody's dropping music just like that. You know, we don't put nobody on the spot, but there's some artists that are out right now. They got a hit song. It's moving. But the question is, can they make an album? Or are they just going to tour off of doing songs?
Right.
You know, there's levels to this. You have music that, and records that actually are repeat, like the 96 Bulls, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Hit it with three-peat.
You know, yeah, three-peat. So it's like,
the very thing that you're explaining is the reason why my output is like that, is because, like, it's really out of fear, really, because, like, I remember when I first came outside and was like, yeah, like, yo, I'm a rapper, like, and owned it. And I spit a rap, and everybody started laughing. I remember that. Ever since that day, I never looked back. I was like, yo, I'm not going to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And then you have to know inside of you, like, I don't know, like, I know without knowing that I'm going to do this. I was born to do it. You know what I'm saying? And it's now starting to catch its fire, and people's like, yo, like, all right, like, son is, you know what I mean? He got something to say, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's dope. And I got some of the dopest supporters. You know what I mean? My manager's amazing. And, it's just, you know, I got great people around me, man, that make a lot of things possible. You know what I'm saying? The producers I work with. You know what I mean? Shout out Uncle Fester, True Cypher. You know what I mean? To, like, you know, just everybody I be around, man. My man, Todd. Like, these is all people who, you know, I bounce ideas with. You know what I mean? My man, Creasy. All of these dudes keep me, you know, like, sane and creative. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I've used my friends as energy.
And that's the blessing, because this is something that I'm not going to mention this artist's name out here, you know, in Virginia, my area, but he's got a name to a degree. But it's like, from what I understand, he's trying to do a lot of this on his own in terms of trying to get his music out. I'm like, I respect it, but I'm like, dude, you've been doing this, like, some years, and you really still haven't gotten further with it. I'm like, you got to have a circle that really knows how to get you through them doors to the next level.
Absolutely. You have to have somebody. You need representation. You can't do this by yourself. There's no way. It's too much. It's too many tasks. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's way too many tasks. You know what I mean? Like, you got to write the raps, record the raps. If you're producing it, produce it, mix it. Then you got to do artwork. And I've done the whole thing. And let me tell you, like, I'm never going to do that again, because just the stress. And by the time you're done, it's like, you know, you just probably just worked off 20 days of your life just because, you know what I mean, in sweat equity, because it's just way too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could kind of, like, pass certain things off to my manager, and, you know, he kind of helps me carry the load. And, you know, with us ordering vinyls, we're paying, you know, for everything out of our own pockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're only working with labels that we enjoy working with. And that's another thing. Like, the relationship, you got to feel right now, too, because, like, we're doing it ourselves now. You understand? Everything we're doing is for ourselves. So if you see me drop with Razor Waves out of Switzerland, or
you know what I mean, Imagine Records or Apple Dizzle, like, that's because the relationship is good. You know what I mean? Companies I've worked with prior, they just, you know what I mean, they're swayed with politics. And it's like, yo, y'all talking about politics, and it's like, I just sold out projects for y'all company. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But you're reluctant on the next release off of the word of the next person. Like, it's crazy, the types of things that happen in this industry. But, you know what I mean, that's why you got to smarten up, and you just got to do things yourself and have the right crew around you and people who are willing to make sacrifices. It's not going to work if, you got to let the gifted be the gifted. If somebody is gifted with it, this nigga got vision, let him be the vision dude. If this dude's the art dude, let him be the art dude. Don't try to jump in lanes and, you know what I mean, and take a jewel. You know what I mean? Sometimes you ever get that feeling from somebody that they don't want to take the jewel because it's you?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Man, like, you listening to the messenger, and you ain't even here to hear the message. I just told you that the building is about to burn down, but because it's me that told you, nah, let me just see if the fire is for real. Like, all right, fam, I'll be outside, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
and guess what? You can't have my fire hose.
Soon as that bridge collapsed.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And they're like, yeah, it's really real. There really is. Oh, all right, cool, heard you. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad because there'd be people, you know what I mean, that, like, I know are talented and I trust, and, you know what I mean, it's like they want to run with me and want the look, but don't want to put that work in for that look. It should take nights, bro. I'm talking about me and my manager, fam, have spent nights awake, fam, like, really, like, damaging ourselves for this shit. Like, really, like, no sleep till this is done. You know what I mean? The Grim Knight, but, it, you know, these were some of the greatest times, though. I don't regret nothing, but I understand that, yo, this shit could play a role on your health. I give my life to the game. It's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of people, like, I get around people and you know, like, because, like, boo, it's, like, when it comes to this radio shit, you've been doing this. Just come along, like, and it ain't got none of these. I heard the drops before the show. I see what's going on here. You understand? I did the knowledge. Y'all was doing your thing. You feel me? So it's like somebody coming along and trying to, like, it's like, yo, fam, you're in a privileged position to learn something. You understand? Don't challenge my expertise, bro. I've been doing it. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to put you on, but because it's me, you don't want to take none of the gems. So it's like, you know, you got to know when to just cut motherfuckers off, too. As much as you need people, you don't need everybody. And everybody can't go. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't go. Everybody can't go. Because, it has to take some type of compliance. You know what I mean? And if you can't comply, I got to let you fly, B. You know what I mean? Because now I'm only getting in your way. Because I'm not going to let nobody get in my way. You feel me? So, you know, coming up in this underground shit, you start to see that. And then you start, like, people will come around, like, just agendas. You feel me? It's just super-duper agendas. And, you know, you see a lot when you tell somebody no, or I can't. Or, yo, listen, I'm stressed out right now. I'm worried about my mental health. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when you see who's really there, who's really your peoples, who's petty, who's, you know what I mean? So, these are all lessons that I'm learning, and hopefully anybody listening coming up in this could take a jewel, and you know what I mean? You could do, like, all of this shit, all this vinyl shit, Jesse, all this pretty glitz and glam. It look cool, you know what I'm saying? But it's a lot of politics behind it. If you can do it yourself, do it yourself. And if you are going to mess with these companies, mess with people who treat you with respect, you know what I'm saying? Mess with people who treat you with respect, because they doing artists dirty out there. If you don't know what you're doing, you will get took out here, and these people is getting rich off you on the back end. You understand? So, like, understand, like, what you're getting into when you get into this, because you will be exploited. You understand? And at the first chance to crack for bank, they will try you. You know what I mean? So, it's nasty.
It is real.
It's beautiful, but it's nasty. Yeah.
We there's so many gems we got to pick out of there, like a research paper, you know, writing the lives of it. Because one thing about it is, it's something people got to know. This is a business first. It's like what King and, you know, myself and we spearhead a lot of it, but we have a lot of help behind the scenes of so many others.
Absolutely.
And I say spearhead because we primarily do the show ourselves in terms of being
right.
on air, but we got so many people behind the scenes, you know, who, you know, past and present, who have been so instrumental in support, who have really helped us. And it has, and people say, well, you know, it's cool, you know, you get to talk to celebrities. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, yeah, we got a lot of people. We're nearing 600 shows. I'm like, we got a lot of people that we were really trying to get that said no to us. You know, we
yeah.
wanted us to pay them. You know, didn't think we were big enough. You
right.
know?
It be like,
man,
that's how it is. That's how it is.
Yeah,
it's so crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, a lot
you
of people don't
we,
really see it, man. They see the flyers and they see, oh, we officially got this person booked. It's not really a guarantee. It ain't like
nah,
a handshake
yeah.
deal that we exchange the bag. We gotta make sure.
Trust, man. This is all trust. It's like, you know, you're gonna go through a lot of whack people. But in that journey, you're going to find some dope people, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we have.
You're
going to
find
oh,
some
man,
dope people, too.
People
but understand
with.
That, yeah. like, I understand, too, that in everybody's mind, everybody is the star. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's the number one guy in their head. So it's like, I take that into consideration. And when I meet somebody who could play their position, I love that, yo, because it's like you're able to place yourself outside of a... I remember I was in a studio. This was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a studio session with somebody. It was me. Chilla Cali is another West Coast artist I worked with. And it was a couple other people in the studio. And, you know, me and Cali finished this, and somebody else was going to hop on it, but they was like, yeah, nah, I'm good on that. And I was like, what happened? He was like, yo, like... I'm going to let y'all have that. Like, y'all flame that. He was able to see that, and it wasn't like he doubted himself, but he just looked at it like, yo, this is already John Blaze, B. Like, y'all niggas, y'all murk that. He was, that's humbleness, and that makes you a doper individual to me because it's like you was able to, because he could have got on, he could have been corny and been like, yo, this shit is dope. Even if I spit some whack shit, I just want to get on it just so I'm on it. But he understood and respected the game and was like, yeah, nah, y'all niggas got that one. You know what I'm saying? So it's like game recognized game. You feel me? Like, people got to understand, like, what works for me might not work for you. You feel me? And vice versa. Like, I don't ever see something somebody do
yeah.
and want to go run around, run behind them and do that shit because that's corny. Like, I'm not wired that way. You know what I'm saying? I see that shit a lot in the underground. No, I'm not going to front. The biting is at an all-time. It's nasty.
Oh, niggas just bite. They just like, hey, bro, let me borrow your, can I borrow your rhyme book?
Yeah.
Sure.
Album covers. I don't see niggas, yo, I don't see niggas literally, bro, rough with my album cover. I don't see a nigga, yo, I don't see a nigga stick a nigga up for his whole album concept, run with it, and drop it. Like, it's just nasty out here. You know what I'm saying?
No
like, I don't see. Yeah, I don't heard the worst things. I don't seen just the worst, corniest activity out here. And it's like, damn, bro, it's not even that real, bro. Like, I don't seen people just move in such corny ways. Like, and it just goes to show, like, yo, people will do anything. People will burn anyone, yo, for any type of look, bro. It don't matter. Like, there's no, like. There's no honor amongst thieves. So, you know, as of recently, I've really just been taking a step back and focusing on AP the Overlord. You know what I mean?
Well, one thing about it, too, and I always tell the story when we talk about stuff like this, Overlord. King knows where I'm going with this because respect is big with us. It was a time, and I said this story on numerous shows. I'll say it again. I was sitting in the barbershop one day hollering my barber. So this is the night. Shout out to OG Spook of Rap a Lot. Shout out to Jay Prince. We respectfully call the old man, the whole Texas. We love y'all. Thank you for the support. So we're having a show with Spook that night. So I'm just chopping it up with my barber. Shout out Big Rob Pratt. You know, representing Houston, Texas as well. Great guy. You know,
yeah, peace.
So
Yeah, so we talking about who we got on that show tonight. But then this young local rapper come up, and he just ear hustling the whole hot conversation. So he said, I want an interview. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like, who is you?
Yeah.
So, you know, so he, you know, he tells me his IG. I go to it. Music is meh. You know, I'm like, okay, you sound like the rest of these trap niggas out here, you know, but I'm like, you know, but my thing is I'm going to be respectful. So at the time, and for all y'all listening out here, because this is maybe when y'all trying to follow somebody on Instagram, if y'all following too many people, you like I was at the time, you couldn't follow the page without that aggression. But anyway, this is the time before I knew how the algorithm worked, that you have to have kind of a balance of who you're following in terms of how many you're following and how many following you. So I was like way over, so they wouldn't let me get on because they flagged me as a bug in a bot, which I'm not. So anyway,
right.
I couldn't get on his page. So he makes this remark about, oh, you want those people to have to follow you, but you don't follow them. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, excuse the fuck out of you?
Yeah.
So anyway, my thing is I don't trip, you know, because my thing is, I'm thinking to myself, nigga, we don't need you on this show. You know, we will always respect our guests, but we don't, quote unquote, beg anybody. Let alone
right.
You try to bogart our shit like, you know, like hot, like terrorists on a hostage trying to take hostages. No, you just don't run up in our shit like that.
Right.
But
right.
the one thing he did not do, Overlord, he never bothered to shake my hand and properly introduce himself.
Yeah, he lost right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Lost 40 over his mouth.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, man. Jada says it's the best. Hip hop has taught me so many lessons, man. So I hold on to a lot of jewels I get from raps. And Jada once said in a rap that you could get further in life by using manners. You know what I'm saying? Not only are these cell phones tapped, they're using scanners. Like, a lot of the times, like, you could play yourself out of a crazy opportunity just because you're trying to get fly with a nigga or some shit. Well, like, he might not be dressed in a way where you think that he's somebody, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, you just played somebody who could change your life, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, that things like that could be, you know, that could be the difference between whether you made it or not, you know what I'm saying? So the people I come across in this industry or who I have the time to sit down and build with, I always try to keep it on the up and up, and I always try to find a way to add on. Like, what any way I can make myself of use or of service to anything, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I'm going to do. But, yeah, homeboy definitely played himself, you know what I mean? Like, the first thing you do is into any real, any person with some real type of, like, sense stability is going to know that, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that was crazy up top. You know what I mean? It wasn't even a...
Yeah, you know, my barber knew him, so he was trying to big him up, you know, like, yeah, you may want to get him on, you know, he about to get big. And I'm thinking to myself, man, we ain't had a no motherfucker, you know, since Eclipse hit out of here, like 20 years in this area in terms of becoming big. So I'm like, are we the Breakfast Club? No, but we've been blessed by the most high. God has blessed us. Yeah, we've been doing it. So it's like we've had legends and we've had, you know, up-and-comers, and we treat them all with respect. And we'll, and the thing is, you know, we work together. And if I bring somebody to King or he brings somebody to me and say, this is who we got, then, you know, it ain't that hard. But my thing is we're going to always look at what's best for us in terms of how we feel about a particular person coming on. And for dude to kind of come out there like that, he had to, like, he's already, you know, made it. And the thing is, this is what, 5 years ago that happened. Because I've been with, you know, my brother since 07. So it's like, and dude is still in the same place that he was, you know, I seen him the other week, you know, from where I work. You know, he came up as a customer. And my thing is, he's still in the same place he was 5 years ago. He ain't moved since.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like,
that energy,
you know,
follows around. Like, that's not, like, the universe going to give you what you get a universe, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ain't no way to place that pie.
You know what I mean? Like, anybody could try to get around it, you know what I mean? But, like, nah, because, like, when you on that timing, like, you could even make it. You could even make it, but that energy is going to be – it's going to come back in some form, in some shape or form. You might even be successful. It can hit you in the success. It can come in mad different ways, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm trying to keep it positive. I just came out of so much chaos and calamity, you know what I mean, at the end of last year. You know what I mean? So, like, now that things are calm and the smoke is clear and I'm back in a position where it's just like, yo, I'm just creating to create again. Like, I'm just trying to keep it there, man. You know what I mean? I'm just soaking the game up. I'm trying to just keep all my relationships in good standings moving forward. So, you know, that was definitely foolish of some.
Yeah.
You know, going on relationships now, do you?
Yeah.
I was going to ask him. Now, going on to relationships, you have anybody in particular you like to collab with in the near future?
Yeah. I do. Or, like, anyone? I really want to work with Boldy James.
Mm. Shout out to Boldy, man. Get well soon, man.
Yo, man, shout out Boldy James. I really want to work with Boldy James. I want to do some more stuff with STNAC. Oh man, so many cats, bro. I love Stove God. I love everything that Griselda doing. Who don't like Griselda? You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely listening to Stove God like a lot. I listen to Stove God Cooks like a lot, probably as much as I listen to Wu-Tang now, because like it's the things that he does on records. He's real clever, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a real clever guy, like, with the way he, like, structures things and like, you know, his frame of reference with, like, with the drug innuendos and stuff, because
Stove God is ridiculous.
It's hustle talk, but it's, like,
he is ridiculous.
It's like luxury, though, you know what I mean?
Look, first time I heard Stove God, yo, for real, was when he was on West Side Guns, Who Made the Sunshine album. And I just heard Stove. I can't remember which track it was. Just like basically Stove had somewhat like a semi-solo on it where he just went off. So, I mean, Stove God is just fucking insane. But that
he's amazing,
Zelda
bro.
Clip. I mean, shout out to Benny.
Rome Streets too. I'd love to do something with Rome Streets too. You know what I mean? They're flying the torch. As far as, you know, this particular type of hip-hop goes, you know what I'm saying? But as far as the underground goes, like, on my circuit, like, I'm working with my man Tyrant, Rufus Sims. I got shit going on with my man John Creasy, Uncle Fester, True Cypher. Like, I'm in a real, like, dope circuit, you know what I mean? Peace to Indigo Phoenix. She's a dope female MC I've been working with, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we just work it, man. We just work it.
And you know what's dope about New York too is that with Griselda, it's not like West Side Gun signed a bunch of underlings and flunk. All these guys are pretty much the hold their own weight on the song.
Yeah. They're stacked over there, man. They stacked over there. I mean, goddamn. I mean, look at that roster. It's crazy. You got Conway, Benny, like, come on, man.
Armani Caesar. Can't forget Armani and Keisha Plum.
Word. I like Trust too. I like, you know, I definitely like Shay Noir. I like a Ransom, 38 Special. Everybody in that circuit is like, I want to work with all. I want to work with everyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to work with everybody. Not too many people in this lane that I wouldn't work with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but people look at what Griselda has done, y'all, over the years, and people don't understand. Griselda started like back in 2004. You know.
Yeah, for a long time. They didn't just appear at it. You know what I mean? Like, they've been at it for a long time, and, you know, and even then, they had to get the fuck up out of Buffalo to make it happen, though. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to move. You got to move. You got to get out there. You got to, because what happens, like, I'm a firm believer in, like, what you put out into the universe. When you get out there, like, things kind of, like, just start to happen. You know what I mean? Like, for every action, there's a reaction. If you wake up and do one thing towards this music shit every day, by the end of the year, you know what I mean? You would have done something every day towards this. Like, if you haven't made progress then that just means you're whack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, man. People
go back to my
throwers, dude. Consistency is everything. I mean, you guys probably know that the best at anything. It's not too many radio shows, you know, that start and continue. You guys have been at it for years, man. That says a lot. That you know, I'm sure you guys have been tested. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's been times where you didn't want to do this shit no more, but there's always that thing inside like, nah, fam, keep going. Like, nah, you know, so... That's what separates success from success. I mean, when it comes time to keep going, are you gonna keep going, or you know, nobody I started with is here with me today anymore. You know, nobody I started rapping with is rapping anymore.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the marathon.
Yeah, it's all about consistency at the end of the day, man. Because I said this, yeah, these guys may get more views than us. They may go get more viral, but they're not going to outwork. We're going to be busting their ass when it comes to the content.
Exactly. And that it's persistence over resistance. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people, like, see, you're working harder, so you're going to obtain more knowledge because it's like RPG, it's like XP points. It's like, you have to jump through more hoops than somebody who might have came in with capital to invest in certain things. And see, like,
right.
we still everyday people using money from our day jobs to fund our dreams. You understand? So, you know, where are we gauging it here? So, like, what? Like, I could say, like, I made it with rap. I mean, I'm doing the things that my favorite rappers do just on a smaller scale. You know what I mean? But if that's success to me in my mind, then that means you made it. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's what you want out of it. You feel me? And if you guys been at it for this long, like all that experience, all the things that you've been through those, that don't go nowhere. You're bringing that with you. Well, these are all the experiences through all that time. So now with any endeavor moving forward, you're carrying all of this experience with it. Like, somebody who skipped the line or just wanted to jump in it because, you know, those people that got bread and they just want to do shit just because they can, but they don't, the love ain't there. They don't have the XP points. You see what I'm saying? They don't have the experience. They don't know what to do. So a nigga can have a cookbook. That don't mean he gonna cook that shit. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got the cookbook, nigga, but you don't know how to water with. Nigga, you can have the work, the baking soda, all of that, but you don't know how to cook work. You know what I'm saying?
And look, you're damn sure out of luck if you don't know how to use that microwave action on it.
That's
you
what
know
I'm
saying?
Man.
Wow.
And that cooling process?
You know what I'm saying? Look, my niggas out there on the block understand that microwave talk in terms of how to work them 90 seconds, like Benny was saying. You know
what
I mean?
Listen, man, I'm an old conventional stove dude, but I've seen the microwave thing, and let me tell you, man, complex.
It is.
Yeah, I'm
oh
old
God.
School. But anywho.
Look, I tell niggas, when you start baking up, man, I'm like, look, don't touch, look, do the stove, man, but do not do that microwave. If you do not know what you're doing.
Only you don't
pros
know, you
know how to work that
microwave, man.
But,
you don't know what you're doing, because definitely
say
the fuck.
Look, FCC, my flag is like, yo, are they really talking about what we're thinking they're talking about?
That double meaning, that double meaning, get up all the time.
We talking about ramen
Andre. But yeah.
I was talking about ramen noodles.
I was talking about
big cake.
Look, Yeah, man, we talk. Look, all that vanilla cream and everything, man, with the chocolate filling, man. Look, we trying to mesh that up right, just to get that right mix and keep it hot in the process when we serve it up.
Full season, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, but one thing about it, with what we've been blessed to do with Off the Cuff is that, and we thank you so much for those accolades, and you know, it means a lot because we've been able to move in a way. Where we're not bound by bosses in the sense of saying who we can and cannot have on the show. We've had authors, you know, shout out Douglas Century, you know, Robert Kenner, you know,
nice.
We've had, you know, former porn stars, you know, shout out Avani Soleil and Leilani Leanne. We're not going to use their real name, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we've had them on the show, you know, shout out to those two. You know, we've had actors, you know, Jermaine Hopkins, you know, from Juice, you know, Tyrone Burton. We've had Kenya Ware, a good friend of ours, the fashion designer for Bobby Brown in some of your favorite movies like Fast and Furious series. So it's like, it's great because we move in a way of, and with you, you know, Overlord, because it's like, we get to have people who we think are dope, and we don't have bosses telling us, well, we don't think it's going to bring enough ratings. We're like, fuck the ratings, nigga. We think they're good enough to be on the show, and we want them on the show.
Right. It should always come from that place, because anything else, it's like, all right, like, it's just like how, like, they'd be like, oh, DJs don't break no records and stuff like that. Like, it just got to come from doing it naturally. That's when the classic shit is made. When it's all, like, political and there's an agenda and ratings and all that. It's not. You're not gonna get the same kind of content. It's gonna feel staged. It's gonna feel like scripted. You feel me? You're not gonna have these types of conversations because it's gonna just be all structured and like, you know what I mean. I like interviews with questions and stuff like that, but I kind of like just talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one thing about it with some of these people to do interviews, like, you know, and I know it's going to get salacious when I say it again, we've had porn stars on the show, you know, former porn stars. Obviously, they retired, but it's like, we're not going to spend 2 hours talking about one thing about it, we always look at it from the human element, no matter who we have on the show, because we know that there's a bigger story. We had you know, Ivani on the show, man, you know, we talked maybe about 10 minutes total about her time in the industry, but we really hit the meat of it in the heart of her life after the game.
Yeah.
You know? That's what makes good
interviews.
You know,
that's what makes good interviews.
Yeah, her being a mother.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, her being a mother, how she left, you know.
Yeah, because one thing for sure is people, when they think of interviews, they think, I'm going to sit across the room. That's a chump that don't have no clue or understand the culture. He gonna ask me this typical standard question. He don't know the culture. He gonna ask me about beef here. He gonna ask me about, he gonna get you to a run me down. What comes through with us, it's like, it's like, you know, we kick it on the block. And, you know, we get to know you as an artist and, you know, as the music. Like, we don't really care about what you did in the streets. We're not trying to put you in jail. We're not trying to interrogate you.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're not like a certain guy who we call Deputy Doodall.
We ain't like him.
It's crazy out there, man. But at the same time, too, artists got to do their due diligence and be smart enough to realize certain pitfalls, because at the end of the day, right, like. There's some people who's put here to ask, like, there's some platforms that are intentionally with the messy shit, that are with all the shit, that want all the salacious shit. So it's like, if you choose to go on these platforms, understand that certain questions will be asked. You got to know how to maneuver around those. You feel me? A lot of the time, rappers could have avoided situations by just being quiet or just being like, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that. But because you're trying to put on, like, you're some tough guy or whatever, and you might be that for real, you know what I'm saying? Which is even worse if you do, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, artists got to be more mindful nowadays, especially, so you see how they playing in Atlanta, you know what I mean? Like,
they gonna use these lyrics against you, fam. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, even in my lyrics, I be talking in third person a lot of times. You'll hear me refer to myself in the third person, like I'm talking about AP as if he as if he's somebody who I'm describing. So there's that kind of like separation, because you know, another thing is too, I don't want people hanging on my words. I don't want people thinking I'm telling you to go out and do these things. I'm speaking from a frame of reference of the shit I've been around and shit I've seen, you know what I mean? And things that, you know, I'm versed enough in to speak about, you know what I mean? It's all in art form. But then there's artists who will commit a crime and then go to the studio and rap about that very crime on record. It's like, yo, fam, like, did you really do this? Like, you're giving them a valid argument to use these lyrics against you. They want to do anything to you, they could just incriminate you with something you said on a record. You see what I'm saying? But artists got to be more mindful of what they're doing out here and how it reflects on other artists. And, you know, like, all this violence and shit, like, yo, that shit is not that, like, too many people is dying in hip-hop.
Yeah.
Too many people dying in hip-hop, and it's like, yo, fam, like, we doing this to get out the hood. Niggas get out the hood and want to do more gangster activity. Like, I don't understand that, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand that, and I hate the way this is about to sound, but I have to say, yo, it be these little niggas. I'm going to say it like that. I'm going to just leave it like that. But, you know, at the same time, too, like, there's no, like, real, like, OGs like that, really, like, guiding, like, you know what I mean? Like, they locked up so many of the older, like, we got to do our due diligence, you know? You know what I'm saying? And it's up to us to realize what's going on. And it's like, yeah, our business is about the street, but it's not in the streets, man. Like, I understand the streets is always going to be there, you know what I'm saying? But once you get to a certain level of success, man, like, you're going to have to make a choice, B.
And I'm a cast that off the alley-oop that you gave, because what we've seen now is a lot of the young niggas coming in, they made it on their own, so they feel like that they don't really have to answer to the OGs. It's not that OGs won't provide counsel, although some have not, and I don't want to make a scathing indictment of those who have not, but it's when you got a lot of these young niggas coming in. Back in the day, our era, even just as simple as getting a record deal, there was vetting, there was processing, there was an A&R to make sure you were polished before you really got out there.
It was artist development.
Yeah, so what we have now is an entrepreneurship express where they're taking it into their own hands, which is great. That's the same spirit that we've embodied, what you've embodied in terms of getting out and doing it on our own.
Absolutely.
But the problem is you got a lot of these individuals who do not understand this is a business first. And there's still this whole thing of they want to try to prove that they are still heavy. I'm like, dude, if you're really heavy out there, you know, you don't really have to prove anything. You know, if anything, you need to concentrate on.
Already say it for you.
Yeah, you know.
The thing is, a lot of these kids, if you listen to the situations, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead, please.
If you listen to a lot of these situations, fam, like, it's friends killing friends, but it'd be people that grew up with each other their whole life that's killing each other in the end. Like, it'd be over these females. And females be getting niggas lined up and all to, like, it's psychology, dude. You know what I'm saying? This is something that is being systematically done in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, it's up to the artist. It's not, you can't blame. If I see that, if somebody finds a well of money and that money keeps coming out, they're going to keep going to that well. You understand? It's up to the artist. I don't blame the labels, or I don't blame label owners or nothing like that, because this is a business at the end of the day. You see what I'm saying? And
right.
But we are the creatives, and we control that at a high level. So, you know, right now they market Black Death and Black Common and all of that. As soon as we decide, like, yo, listen, that shit is corny now. We're not rapping about that no more. I mean, we're not killing each other no more on records no more. Matter of fact, all that shit corny now. Niggas that's doing that, that's corny then. And we're not going to spend no bread on it the same way niggas cancel niggas and all of that shit. Not to put,
You know, like, is we can change. It has to be the people that do it. Ain't nobody else going to do it for us. We can sit here and blame the man and all of that shit, but at the end of the day, fam, like, we're in a time where knowledge, we have all the information that generations before us didn't have, B. You understand? Like, we have all the information our generations before didn't have. So it's like, it's up to the artist to make the choice to be like, yo, listen, that's whack. But when you got people throwing, you know what I mean, money in your face for you to act ignorant, they gonna take you back. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying, though, you can't be no street nigga. I'm a street nigga. Like, I'm not saying you can't rap that gangster shit, but there's ways. You know what I mean? Like, DMX was one of the rawest rappers, but he wasn't smoking his ops on records. He wasn't like, come on, bro. Like, we gotta draw the line somewhere. Like the sheer disrespect in hip hop is crazy, bro. It was not like that when I was growing up, B. Like, niggas wasn't doing that on that. Like, and we was listening to gangster rap. You understand? But it wasn't. It was, you know, it's the current that these niggas is coming in. It's like that music is like, it's like a death march. Like, that rhythm is like, yo, this right here is like, this shit is a death chant right here. This music right here, like, that should make you want to go kill somebody, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That drill shit, that should make you want to go kill somebody, bro. I can't even listen to that shit. Because when I hear it, I'm just like, yo, this music is not, like, I don't knock it. Because, right, it's a time and place. If I'm in a party or whatever, like, yeah, all right, cool, it feels good. But I'm a read the room type of guy. I see the whole body language when this type of music comes. Like, niggas just transform, son. You understand?
Now,
like,
do something with the music. Now, if they was gonna do something with the music, I could see if they was doing it in Slave Rebellion. Like, I'm gonna go ahead. We gonna shoot up the Klan, or we gonna shoot up the Ops. That's the
right,
real Klan.
The
like,
message
I could see it with Slave Rebellion.
Like, yeah, like, see, boom, right? Like, imagine that, see, like, now if you, because it's a current, so you can control a current. If they change the narrative and, like, if they got on some drill revolutionary shit, son, niggas is interesting, because now you're marching to a different drum. See what I'm saying? The drum niggas is marching to right now, bro, niggas is marching themselves into caskets, bro, and cells.
Absolutely.
If they telling on it, first of all, like, when did we ever do it? Like, niggas is just telling on themselves. They showing guns online, money. Like, it's nasty. It's really nasty. Like, hip-hop got to clean that up, because it's a lot of L's being taken. A lot of people are being killed. A lot of people are being locked up for the most, like, bogus reasons. And, you know, that could be a good reason why an argument could be made, like, yo, I just want to rap from home. You know what I'm saying?
Real,
like,
man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, see, what's happening now is it's marketed towards us, for us, and by us only, and you see the Op is looking like us. So, therefore, it's not doing anything it's doing nothing detrimental for us at all. And on top of that, they're getting rewarded for it. Like, these niggas is getting endorsements. They're getting Reebok commercials.
Meanwhile, the label has a life insurance policy out on you. You know what I'm saying? They're banking on your death, bro. You're going to sell more after he died. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a whole... This shit is a trap, man. It's just like the prison system. It's just like any other institution in America is designed to keep you in check. Just like you know, like, I've been in the New York prison system. Like, the prison system is designed to keep you in the system, period. You understand? Because, all right, cool, right? Like, they use everything against you. All right, like, you can have a whole family, girl and all of that, y'all live together and all of that, you get locked up, all right, cool, you go, you do your bid, now it's time to come home, right, be setting up your parole. Oh, you can't parole back home to where your girl and your kid lives, because in 2015 you guys had an argument and the police were called.
Yeah, yeah,
You see what I'm saying? So now, so, and then it's keeping you in a state of frustration because now, right, you just did your time, right? Y'all niggas done took money from me for DNA fee, the gate fee, all types of, what do they call it? Encumberments and shit. Their wording is classic. You know what I'm saying? They take all types of bread from you, not to mention your family sending packages, commissary, phone time, you know what I mean? All that. So, boom, now it comes time to get home. You can't parole home. All right, cool. If you don't got family like that, now you got to go to the halfway house. You understand? So you just left a situation where you were just in a high violent, high populated situation. Now you come home and you're surrounded by people in a halfway house. That either just came home from prison or they lower vibrational people in society. You feel me? So you're already starting off on a whack foot. You understand? And now, right?
Yeah.
While you're in jail, you're not just in jail. You have to do programming while you're in jail, only to come home for them to put you in more programming. You know what I'm saying? So the state is still getting money off your black ass. You see what I'm saying? If you don't go to these meetings, nigga, we're violating you. Now you back at Edgecombe for 45. It's just a never-ending cycle, bro. It's set up like that.
I know in California, I think you have to pay, I think it's like $15 or $20 a day for every day that you've been locked up. You got to pay restitution back to the state or some number like that.
That shit's crazy. Like, it's like, wait, so hold on. You gotta understand, yo, and then on top of that, while you in there, fam, like, these are outside companies that they're hiring for the programs, for all of these different things in the jail, you feel me? So it's like, yo, it's slavery, bro. It's slavery, no matter how you look at it, it's legal slavery. And the thing is, it tells you that. Slavery still exists. Slavery ain't never really been abolished. You're only free if you're not incarcerated. Once you're incarcerated, fam, you are now state property, bro. That's the same as being a slave. Is they just changed it. Sometimes.
And like Tupac said on Trap, you know, brothers coming out worse than when they went in. And that's why when we talk about the game, how it's set up, about how everything has changed. One thing niggas got to understand is be legal in terms of your music, in terms of doing the business. We've seen what happened with Young Thug. And all the stuff that's coming out, that's not for us to decide whether he's guilty or innocent. The courts are having their day in terms of, you know, deciding that. But obviously there are some stuff that came up that everybody was pleading out. So they got, and I mean, they were investigating him for 8 years. So they got something. We just have to say it for what it is.
You know what time it is when the feds come. Somebody going to jail. Somebody going to jail.
Yeah, and even on a state case like that.
It comes down to how long you're going to do. When the feds come, they've been on you. You're done.
Whether it's a state or fed case, they've already put resources
in. 99% conviction rate or some shit?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, because see, the thing is,
man, you're not like, and it's whack because, you know, I like Young Thug. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Young Thug. But it's like, at some point, you have to make the transition, fam. Like, I know that I can't be in certain environments because of what I'm trying to do right now, especially being back home in New York where, you know, I done caught my case, where I done did time, where, you know what I mean? I've done crime. So it's like, none of that don't leave you, but I have to make the conscious decision to be like, yo, like, I can't do that if I want to do this rap shit. I can't put myself in positions where I could possibly lose my freedom or be around niggas I know I got beef with or some shit like that, because it's like, now when you got something to lose, fam, you gotta think smart. You gotta move like you on the run. You know what I'm saying? Like you're precious cargo now. You know what I mean? So you gotta just stay out the way, because as soon as you go down, these niggas is telling on you. You know? I mean, it ain't no way around it, fam. Niggas ain't holding it down no more. Those days are over. I'm saying,
look, if you Troy are Ave to the death. Troy Ave to the death. Streets are a myth. You know, shout out to Troy, man. You know, Dope Boy Troy. You know, he said it best. Streets are a myth. And see,
The reality is everybody talks about it, of how they will be 10 tones down. I'm like, when you're dealing with a situation of looking at real time in terms of what it entails, that's scary. I don't give a goddamn who you are. When you're looking at, you're looking at goddamn 50 years. I mean, we look at what happened with Tekashi. Shameless plug, pick up Sean Sotero's book, Dummy Boy. It's a great read. He documents the whole Tekashi case from beginning to end, from his life to the whole trial. Great book. Good friend of ours. But but reading that book, when Tekashi got the numbers, when them numbers started coming up, when they let him know how serious that investigation was, when them D's got him, you know, and then obviously, you know, them other boys from Treyway tried to kill him. Well, that's a different story. But you know, I'm not going to get a book away. But when you see what it really entails in a criminal lifestyle, it's not fun in terms of, because eventually, it comes to an end.
Absolutely.
And when you think about what these guys have to deal with in terms of, like, Thugger, realistically, when I read that docket of everything there that they got in terms of that whole, I'm like, that dude's probably, if he's guilty, they could put him away the rest of his life. I mean, you're talking about murder.
Bodies, they talk about mad shit. Like,
I mean,
bro, I hope the best for him. I don't wish jail on nobody. You know what I'm saying? But
it ain't
fun.
Like, it's not fun.
There's many lessons to be learned from this, and he just serves as another unfortunate example of just do when you get into positions when you're successful. You know what I'm saying?
Look, like, Overlord, you remember what happened to Honeycomb Brazy? Honeycomb Brazy a couple years ago, and he had all that beef out in the street. I mean, they killed his grandparents, burned the house down. He gets arrested on a parole violation, has to do 15 years. And me and King were talking about it. We were like, yo, what did he do? What was he at? What was he going on in the street? What did he have going on? Did they kill his grandparents? I'm like, yo.
That, like, and that's the thing, like, because there's two sides, right? Like, because if niggas is clapping at your grandparents, what did you do?
Exactly.
You did more beyond. You did more than just rob the plug. You must have took the whole life insurance policy.
Like, that sounds like a crime of passion, though. That's it, like, because you know these niggas be crazy over these females, man. Like, niggas gotta stop going crazy over these females, bro. Because it be at the center of a lot of beef. It be females.
It is. But
today, I was watching one of these YouTube channels, and it was talking about, I guess, this war in Chicago allegedly that's been going on or whatever. And
yeah, O'Block in Tucaville.
Fam,
it started over a girl.
Over a girl, and it's like, yo, all of this bloodshed, girl, bro. Not to lessen her value, not to say she's not a valuable person or nothing like that, but it's like, yo, at the end of the day, everybody's dying, right? And then this girl is still carrying on with her, and she's still fucking. See what I'm saying? Like, that girl, like, man, nothing ever happened to the girl, though. You know what I'm saying? Not that anything should, but it's like, all of this chaos happens around this one female, and then, like, she's not with anybody that was involved in the end. She's married to, what's his name, and she moved away, and she's not even she's a memory now. People don't even remember that she's even involved anymore.
On to the next one.
People's really dying over it. And, like, you just ended your whole life. You see what I'm saying? And then the state wins. They got 2-for-1. Another dead nigga. And, yep, another slave. Get them up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, people got to start opening their eyes, yo. Like, yo, this shit is entertainment, man. This shit is entertainment. Yeah, we from the streets. Yeah, we might be even down to do certain things. Some people might have even done some things. But it's like, you do this art form now to leave that. Like, we ain't trying to get in hip-hop and be dying and going to different cities to be victims of people who look like us and people who we're trying to inspire. You know what I'm saying? Like, how whack is that? That, you know,
you get killed by somebody you're trying to inspire, or you know what I mean, you're trying to show new things. But you know, it's just the wild ways of the world. These things we can't explain.
Real. Hey, yo, take this, man. We got almost 5 minutes to spare, so I think we have a call on the line that probably want to ask you a question. 562
okay.
number. Let's see what we got here.
Long
562,
Beach.
You want?
Long Beach.
Yo, peace.
Peace, peace.
What up, what up?
Yo, what up? It's your sis, Shay, just stopping by to say peace and show you love and showing love to Off the Cuff Radio. How y'all doing?
Peace,
what up,
Shay.
What up?
Yo,
we blessed.
We appreciate
peace
it.
Peace to the whole Long Beach. Peace. I appreciate you, Shay. You know that.
And you know this. I just wanted to put the people on game and just let them know that you're a real nigga and they need to really tap in with you and the whole FTK. You a different type of artist, and you know how I feel about you, you know, as a black man in America, getting your message out, trying to keep us all above water. And I really appreciate your efforts. I know it's a lot of long nights, and I appreciate that off top. But I am actually calling in with a question. So I want to ask you about the FTK, the Free Thinker Clan, and I want you to explain to the people exactly what it is and how it was founded.
The Free Thinker Clan, first of all, thank you. Everything you said means a lot to me. The Free Thinker Clan is, I like the word collective, but I don't like the word collective. It's kind of, I like to call it like a thing of ours. Like Free Thinker Clan is more like an identity. I never wanted it to be secluded to, you know, just like one kind of idea, but it was founded by me and my late cousin Fire. You know, we had gotten our first little commercial studio space, and we were like, yo, we need a name. And, you know, I've always had Freethinker Clan in my mind, but when I told it to him, he immediately was like, yeah, hell yeah, that's what we're going to call it. So we ran with it. And then, unfortunately, I had another friend, Rob Buros, who you know, was the third member we put down, you know what I mean? And, you know, it was just like a thing of ours. We always wanted to focus on arts and the other elements of hip-hop as well as rap. You know what I'm saying? So anybody who knows me knows, like I love the art and everything that goes around the music as well. So Freethinker Clan, you know what I mean, is something that represents that. It just represents the freeness of the music. And, you know, We got Indigo Phoenix, you know, running the Freethinker Clan is represented by so many different things. So you know, it's just Freethinker Clan is more of a mindset opposed to like a crew. Anybody in the world can be a part of Freethinker Clan.
More. I appreciate you, King. Shout out to you, Jalen, everybody, the whole FTK, Indy. God bless you, King. I'll be in touch. And shout out again to Off the Cuff Radio. Love to you from Long Beach.
Absolutely. I appreciate you.
God bless.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Peace to the West Coast, man. I'm sorry. I love the West, man. It's a lot of West.
Yeah, man, it's ain't nothing like, especially Long Beach, man. Strong Beach, they keep it moving out there, man.
My cousin live in Long Beach. I got a cousin out in Long Beach. He just had a baby. Shout out Jamal, man. He just had a baby. Congrats to him.
Okay.
Yeah, new life,
yeah,
more
man,
life.
Look, that whole Long Beach collective. Of course, Snoop Dogg repping there, Warren G, P. Nice, Stupid Young.
Classic,
you know, Zaire Akeem, yeah, man.
Legendary city, man.
Yes, it is. VIP Records, shout, man. Look, you know, I mean,
yeah.
VIP Records, we can't forget VIP
For
Records,
real.
Man.
Much love to the beach.
West, man. There's so much legendary stuff, you know. As far as the East, I've seen it. I grew up in the East, so, you know, it's home. But, you know, whenever I'm in California, it's just like lights, camera, action again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah. And of course, Kelvin Anderson, man, a good friend of ours, man. So this is definitely RBX. We could go on and on about the love we got out there, man. We got love for, you know, Young Zeke and all them, man. So, yeah, man. Dude, this has been
this has been great, man. I mean, this has been just, you know, awesome. We're about to close shop. Tell everybody where to find you online, you know, and where to find your music.
You can find me on all streaming platforms. Just search AP the Overlord. I'm on Instagram at AP_DA_Overlord. It's the same thing on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter. I'm real responsive. Any artists that want to link me, I'm just a DM away. I'm real responsive, and shout out to y'all. I just appreciate y'all having me on and just giving me the space to speak and just be me, man. I really appreciate it.
Definitely, man. You know you're welcome back anytime, man. And keep doing it and stay. Stay doing it.
I definitely want to come back after the Don Carrera album.
Definitely, we'll have you back on, man.
Absolutely, man. Last Action Hero out next month. Stay tuned. You know what I mean? That's by me, Don Carrera. Plot God did the art. Probably, man, if y'all thought Dangerous 2 was crazy, man, we're going to just keep elevating this thing, man.
Definitely, definitely.
For sure, man. We definitely appreciate you joining. We're going to definitely keep on pushing the line for you. Big shout out to your manager, Jalen Smith, for making this happen, man. It was
peace to Jay,
real dope,
man.
Real dope bill. So, man, we better sign up out of here. Do you have any social media plugs or social media handles you want to plug out there so people can reach you or they can buy Dangerous 2?
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said before, you can reach me on Instagram at AP_DA_Overlord, AP the Overlord. You can find, just Google AP the Overlord. You'll find everything. Just Google AP the Overlord. You'll find everything. It'll all be right there. But you can catch me on Instagram, AP_DA_Overlord.
Yep.
Peace to the whole planet. I appreciate y'all for having me, man. Peace.
Peace, man. We out.